We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
See, it's official. I am nervous about NFL football happening this fall. Official. As of today, Saturday, July 11th, after a week's layoff. You're still on the Cape? What the hell? I mean,
hold on a second.
One of these weeks in studio, please.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Ken and Fitzy on WEEI 93.7 FM and heard all across the great WEEI Sports Radio Network. Easier to hear me on 96.3 down here on Cape Cod. Of course, I'm broadcasting, Ken, from my Shaw's and Star Market remote studio here in Dennisport, Massachusetts.
Which, by the way, 13 days away. That's good news. Red Sox opening on July 24th. Can you believe that?
No, as a matter of fact, Ken, I just wanted to say good job, Bridget. Love when our beer drinking producer Bridget Prue opens the show with the Rolling Stones, one of the greatest rock acts of all time.
Start Me Up.
That's a great song. What are you talking about? It's a kickoff song. Yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, Bridget. Hi, I can't see you, but there's Ken, old Ken Jong-un, Ken Tifa, throwing you right under the broadcast.
He's already lied to where it's a terrible choice for him. Pick a Stone song. Pick something else. Sorry, Bridget. This is not a good song. Anyway, go ahead, Fitzy. Go ahead.
Wow.
I'm in a bad mood. The NFL's
why are you in a bad mood?
Happen.
I'm in a good mood. I was just going to say that this week I pinch hit twice on OMF with Lou and Christian, and we had a chance to talk to Colin McHugh and Xander Bogaerts, and I was about to say to you, I was super excited for baseball, 13 days away, going to have games. You're definitely not invited to my Cape Cod drive-in cinema where we're going to be showing awesome movies and baseball games all summer.
But, of course,
you freak out about you. A pin drops or somebody sneezes or, you know, somebody...
Oh, I freak out. Let me set the stage this week for the Fitzy, the world of Fitzy. He worked 6 days a week for the first time in his career at WEEI, which congratulations to you. You got a couple hours in yesterday. Of course, I worked 6 days a week every week for the last 4 months. Mm-hmm. You complained about working 6 days a week and tried to tap out of working that 6 day so you can only have a 5 day work week. You try to get out of the show. What nice commitment by you to the Laird and Fitzy show.
Also, you have completely brushed aside the fact that I work on a daily basis for WEEI.com.
Who's the most read columnist at WEEI? This guy sitting right here.
The guy on the other side of the microphone.
You write mashups.
That's right. I write mashups because I put together things that people who are sports fans and don't hate the wind enjoy reading on a regular basis. But I digress, Ken. Please.
Can we get to some sports talk? Are you nervous about the NFL starting in the fall?
Jeez, Bridget, do you see what I have to put up with? Do you understand now why I stay 77 miles in a sea breeze away? Yes, Ken. All right. Are you happy? Just when I started getting super excited about the prospect of having a real deal, legitimate starting quarterback, an entirely new kind of offense, and a dynamic on the Patriots who have undergone a facelift and a personality alteration after 20 years of Tom Brady. I was getting so excited for the Cam Newton, the United States of Camerica, life in Camelot, all the things that I know you hate saying and you love hearing from me. I was getting so excited for it. And then now, over the past 36 hours, I have too joined you on the sidelines of irrational nerves that the NFL is not even going to be able to play, let alone is going to have to start late.
Well, they'll play. I mean, they will push through.
Are you sure? Are we sure?
Yes, yes. Well, there's too much money at stake. Well, first of all, we would hold them to the same standard of baseball, right? I mean, baseball got the prospect of baseball not getting their act together and getting on the field were nationally panned.
Yes, Ken. One is like a pickup game you can play with, like a stick and a ball with your buddies in an alley on a tennis court or in the yard. The other one is full-fledged, you know, costumed combat.
Yeah, okay. But they're both outdoor events that can be spaced if you put some thought into it. The fact that, and I was one of these people too, the NFL got so much credit for pulling off the draft and free agency, which were huge. I mean, to have anything to talk about in our world for a couple of months was great. And
the draft was amazing.
They were embarrassing baseball at that time. Mm-hmm. But here we are. The season is supposed to open July 28th, 2 weeks from Tuesday. Rookies are supposed to be reporting on July 21st. So basically, you're supposed to have the Rohrwassers and the Kyle Duggars of the world coming into Boston, into New England somewhere for move-in weekend this weekend, like today. I don't know if that's happening, if you've seen any buzz about that. But in the meantime, Tom Ekern nailed this at NBC Sports Boston. They have not finalized an economic plan, preseason game plan, roster size plan, face shield plan, testing plan. I mean, what is going on? We are 2 weeks out, and they have no idea what they're doing. This is the NFL.
Mm-hmm. This is the biggest sports league in North America. This is our number one sport. This is our, Ken, as I'm off to point out, during our programs, be they on the weekend or the weekdays, it is the number one source of televised and consumed mass media entertainment in America. 98 out of the 100 top TV shows, football games. They have had all of this time to try to put together a plan. Now, I've heard that they've tried to put together a number of different contingency plans, but I think the hope was that they were going to be able to pull it off with some semblance of normalcy, that they would just not that the country would flatten the curve or a vaccine would magically pop up like a golden ticket in Charlie Bucket's Wonka bar. I think that they really thought they were going to just be able to go about business as normal with a few alterations, except now there's more cases popping up. Some of the southern states opened up good and early and they got themselves 5-digit surpluses of positive testing. And I think the players have taken a look at what's gone on in the bubble, the way baseball is putting things together, the extra care and measures that have been put in place by these other leagues. And they're thinking, you know what? Football is a lot different than baseball. I'm going to be, as it is, I might also break myself in half any given Sunday. Now you're telling me I might test COVID positive and I'm a 350-pound lineman and I've got young kids at home and a wife who could possibly have a pre-existing condition? No thanks. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of anxiety on behalf of the players, Ken. And that 35% salary cut proposal is nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into the weeds on the economics because you mentioned escrow and people just start to, I mean, the station will change faster than it normally would when you hear you and I together on a weekend. But
entertainment everyone's here for. This is blaring on all the beaches from Maine to Cape
Cod. You would agree nobody wants to hear escrow talk, really. But the problem is the economics are a concern, right? I mean, the players don't want to have to give up 30% of their money this year. They want to borrow from future years. So that's
35%. That's a lot. That's over a third of their paycheck, man. That's a lot of money.
But it's just, I mean, like Drew Rosenhaus said, if anything, they deserve a bonus for playing this year based on all the things they're going to have to go through. So it's an issue.
And he's not wrong.
We crushed baseball for this. How are you this close to camp and you have no idea what the economic plan is? Isn't the NFL getting ripped for that? I mean, just for...
Ken, forget the let's just even push the economic plan aside for a minute, okay? Again, when we have to start debating thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions and billions, then the common man and every fan has a really difficult time relating. Let's just look at the basics of getting the product onto the field. They've had their whole virtual offseason. They've done their Zoom meetings. Now they have to actually show up. It doesn't even sound like the arrival plan is in place. Then after that, we have 4 preseason games. That's been cut back to 2. It may soon, if Nate Solder and a lot of other people who are concerned about the safety of themselves and their families, not everyone has Nate Solder's condition, but there's probably hundreds of players out there that are concerned about wasting time, getting hurt, and getting sick at a preseason game.
Right.
That may get tossed overboard. Then we haven't heard anything about a testing plan. Baseball, as we heard from many players, and including Colin McHugh, who joined the station this week, these guys are getting tested every day. They're doing rapid tests. They're spitting in jars or vials or whatever. Like, they're doing everything under the sun to let people know that they're healthy and that the sport's not in jeopardy. Where in the holy hell, or as we used to say in the movies, where in Sam Hill is the NFL's plan?
I agree. It's bizarre. Now, what should they do? Is a simple question at 617-779-7937. Should they, as Tommy Curran suggests, he thinks they should just push it back a month. 1 month would give you a little more time to settle some of these issues, whatever they are, preseason games, as you mentioned, or face shields. The NFL wants them mandatory. The players want to, quote, encourage them in camp and then reevaluate after camp goes on. Roster size, all these little issues, It doesn't appear like they're ready, and we'll have a lot more information on these spikes of cases in some of these states, including in Texas, where the governor there is threatening to shut down if people don't get their act together, which is amazing. King Abbott, as Greg Hill would call him that.
Yeah, well, you know what? When people start doing things like that, some of the citizens, and especially the Karens and the Kens, get extra anxious, and there's a whole lot of entitled agita going on around our country. But guess what? Those states are able to turn around and start doing business as normal or new normalish within a couple weeks' time. If I had a chance, Ken, you know, I always lobby for there needing to be like a national sports czar. And Greg laughs at that, but I think we've never needed one more than now. Let's both just quickly play armchair commissioner. Let's play Saturday afternoon commissioner.
Yep.
If I would order that the rosters be the full 53, that there would be no inactives, and I would make sure that you have, I would bump it up to 53 actives, and I would make the roster 60, and then I would give you a 20-person practice squad. Now, I know that's a lot more money to come out of the pockets of owners who are already going to be hemorrhaging money with a lack of gate. We saw yesterday that the Jaguars announced they will only allow 25% of capacity at insert name of North Florida Bank Stadium here.
Which is how many fans? We're talking 10,000?
Which is like, no, it's like 17,000. Now, obviously, they're the Jaguars. They're still going to have trouble selling it out. But these guys are going to, like Shad Khan, he's going to lose a ton of money. But in order to be able to make any money and get your product on the field, which is a necessity right now, You're going to have to look at small gains. We're not going to be looking at massive NFL
profits. But hold it
right
there for a second. Like 17,000 fans in Jacksonville right now. Can you imagine that? Getting 17,000 people
to watch Gardner Minshew throw to DJ Chark? No, I can't.
Let alone here where, you know, the plan, you know, I hate to bring up the phases.
Go ahead.
But phase four, the new normal, requires therapies and a vaccine. Other than that, you can't have 100 or more people. Sam Kennedy's still talking about getting fans at Fenway for the Red Sox in August, which is, like, it's bizarre to me. How would that happen? How is that even possible? Would the governor give, like, a special dispensation here for fans to come in?
People joke about Sam Kennedy being the program director at WEEI, but he is officially the program director at WLOL, Laugh Out Loud Radio, because that is not happening.
The fact that he keeps saying it, but it's not happening.
It's not happening.
No, but he's got to have some inside information that they're going to let fans at Fenway. Some number, not 17,000.
You and I believe that they should. I think Gillette is going to work in lockstep with Jacksonville, and I think the NFL is going to eventually say league-wide, I don't care what your situation is, if you're imperiled with a number of surging corona cases like in Arizona, a Florida, a Texas, if you have flattened the curve and you're, you know, striding towards a new normal like a lot of states in the Northeast, 25% capacity in all the stadiums. And Ken, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not kidding. You'll laugh again because this is what you do whenever I suggest things that come to pass. I wouldn't be surprised if they offer fans the opportunity to tailgate, and then they make sure that they show the games outside of the stadium as well on temporary screens so that people can just sort of go.
But they won't have to pay for that.
No, they won't have to pay for it. But wouldn't, if you're the team, wouldn't you love to know that fans want it to go so badly? You know, if you're a season ticket holder, you're going to get your choice of two games with a 25% capacity in the stadium, right? So you'll get two games instead of eight. But wouldn't you love to know and be able to hear an extra 30,000 people outside the stadium distanced in the parking lots, all watching on giant screens that are using the in-stadium feed, so they're only like a half second behind? Wouldn't you love to hear that noise as opposed to simulating crowd noise like they've been experimenting with it at Fenway this week?
Wouldn't you love to have to fight that traffic on Route 1 to get in for some guy that's just going to sit in the parking lot?
You know what, actually? I would love to know. If anyone calls in today, please, whenever you hop on the line, if you answer our question about what do you think the NFL is going to do and what do you think they should do, please just let me know. The same way that you conveniently hung up on all those people or you and Greg hung up on all my food truck calls the other day.
Who called in and backed me up. This was unbelievable.
No, this is not a low moment. It was a high point of the week. You guys just hung up on all the callers, you jerk. I would love to know if fans would actually make an effort to go tailgate and take in the game outside the stadium so as to show support and have a good time. I still think people are gonna have home, they're gonna do a lot of home gating, but I wouldn't be surprised if some fans said, hell yes, I'll drive down there, I'll tailgate, I'll watch outside so the team can hear me cheer.
I don't think that's unreasonable, but let's rewind to what you and Curtis actually agreed with you, which is stunning. Your claim was that fans are going to stop going to live sporting events in the future because of the home gating experience this fall, because they can't go to games. So dumb. It's just beyond
comprehension. Apparently in Lairdistan, dumb is actually smart because it's actually a pretty sound plan. I truly believe people are going to have such a positive experience.
Like they've never
together.
Watched football at home before. They have no idea what it's like.
Not,
they're suddenly going to discover, this is football on TV.
Ken, you nitwit. If you actually did something like I did, like where you'd find that you actually can't even buy project, like there's been a surge on buying all of these sort of like different pieces of equipment and paraphernalia that you can use to be able to have a little drive-in theater or have these big get-togethers.
That doesn't mean they're not going to go back to the games when the games
I think people are going to say, you know what? I've had such a good time doing this with my neighborhood or, you know, having everyone get together at the cul-de-sac. It's not worth spending 12 hours and several hundred dollars. And I wouldn't be surprised if more people feel the same way. But what do I know? I'm just the other side of Ken and Fitzy. So why don't we take some calls, all right?
But back to the Patriots real quick before we get to the calls.
Back to the Patriots.
They took the second most revenue of any NFL team from fans, right? $300 million. In stadium revenue in 2018. This is the last time, according to Forbes, the last time those numbers were out.
Correct.
So fans mean as much or more to them than any other team, and that's half the revenue. So like college football, I mean, my college football plan is now just punt it to the spring. Play in March, April, and May. You get fans in, hopefully then, and they need it to open up these colleges and universities.
So you don't like the fact that college football, or at least the Power Five conferences, are all trending in the regional schedule only direction?
Well, I mean, I just think that's a short-term. I don't actually think they're going to stick to that.
That's a balm. That's a panacea, if you will.
Okay. I think in a couple of weeks they're just going to scrap it for a few
months.
How
about these poor kids who have come back and are in the middle of training right now? I mean, that's so cruel to do
well,
that.
Well, not really. I mean, because you're still going to play. You're just going to play later. You can still train. And for the NFL, I don't think they can do that. But one thing I do think they could do is delay it a little bit and then spread the season out. Why can't you play every other week, every second week? It'll help with testing. It'll help if somebody tests positive. You have natural like bye weeks built in. So the Patriots will play two games a month all the way into March if you need to. Why do you have to jam it in so you get a Super Bowl in February? Why can't you move the Super Bowl to March, to April?
So how about this? So you're telling me what we do is, so that's two games a month. So that's two in September. I mean, I was told there'd be no math. But if you will play through February, that means you're basically going to play only a 12-game schedule.
Play all 16. It's fine.
Okay. So how about this? What you do is you stagger it. So you have half. So what you do is so that fans have football every Sunday, every Monday, and every Thursday, you end up putting half the games on one week and half the games on the other week. And you extend it. I got to be honest, Ken. You say a lot of things on here that you think are brilliant that me and everyone else who has their head screwed on right knows are absolutely bananas. That's not a terrible idea.
Thank you.
It is not a terrible idea. Tom Curran's idea of starting later, I think that's only going to lead to more trouble. You're just, as we like to say, you're delaying the inevitable.
Well,
but in this case,
that's more
like your plan.
But the current idea of delaying is more of get your stuff together. Get your CBA stuff, you know, your roster size, and get your rules together first.
As we say off mic with a beer in hand, get your S together, or as your dad would say to you when you're late getting out of the house, hey, kid, get your act together.
Which makes me think, I mean, there's no way this is an accident. This is the NFL working deliberately. They're just trying to push this on the players at a late date, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the 11th hour, just to try to slide it through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty sleazy.
And I'm thrilled that guys like Jarvis Landry are not only speaking out, but they're shining the TB12 symbol in the sky saying, hey, guess what? you're like the most popular player and a massive voice. Come help us. This is our hour of need. Don't let them try to pull this wool over. I mean, not that Jarvis Landry isn't wildly overcompensated in the first place, but
I thought he was talking about the Black Lives Matter stuff. You think he wants Brady's help on
both
game stuff?
Both.
Okay. Well,
yeah. He wants it all. What is Tom Brady? I mean, we can get into Brady in a little bit, Ken, because I think he may be in trouble on and off the field in the ensuing weeks, but. He needs to speak up on a number of fronts. A number of fronts.
Also at 2 o'clock today, quick plug, we've got Ross Tucker coming on, former Patriot for a little short window, former offensive lineman. He's got the Ross Tucker podcast. He is also a Radio.com sports NFL insider. He's going to discuss his belief that Cam Newton is not a lock to start for the Pats this year. I think that's interesting.
I'm looking forward to that.
That was a couple days old, that take, but we'll see if he still stands by it. Ross is brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Pod Friends podcast series. Available at radio.com/Dell. But let's go to Travis in Providence to kick us off here on Laird and Fitzy. Hi, Travis.
Hey, Bob. What's up? I just think that we should wait on these sports. I know a lot of people love sports, man, but if we're willing to risk people dying, I mean, Ken, you guys had a guy a couple days ago that was talking about college football. If this season goes through, you know, there's like a possibility of, you know, 4 to 7 of the kids dying.
Yeah, Mike Giardi said that.
I'm so glad you remember that, Travis, because people thought we brought it. That was an interview that was on the week prior with me and Mutt and Wiggy, and I brought it back up this week, and there was like this incredulous look on everyone else's face who hadn't heard it, like, who would say that? You've got to be kidding me. This is a study that the NCAA sanctioned, and the sims that they ran of the season playing out with the number of cases they expected projected 3 to 7 college football players dying in the season. That's insane, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And there was another talk you guys had that, you know, the only way that they're going to cancel the NFL season is if somebody dies. Why do we have to wait for somebody to die to cancel a football season? I love sports too, man, but like, really, we're talking about people dying. You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem feasible to me. I say, just wait, put an asterisk on this season, you know, just like they did in World War II or World War I or whatever it was. They canceled all the sports. You know, just don't do it. Let's just wait and see what happens.
Thanks for the call, Travis. Well, see, here's where I differentiate between college and pro.
Ken, is Travis like your best friend and just tried not to mention that you guys went to college together? It's a very logical take. Appreciate that.
Well, like for college, it's not worth the risk. Especially if you can punt, like if you can push it off for a couple months. Now football's different. It's full
contact.
Well, but okay. But every office building that's opening up across America has the same chance of somebody dying from their office as the NFL does. No, they don't.
Why? Because
NFL actually has tons of money to throw at this problem, where most companies don't.
Last time I checked, Mary, Derek, Alexander, and Mildred, whenever they get together for a meeting in a PowerPoint, don't have to they don't run cut blocks and they don't chop each other.
Yeah,
and
outside, you're worse off inside. You're actually probably, there's no studies conclusive on this, but wouldn't you think you're safer doing anything outside than anything inside?
Yeah, except when it involves full contact.
Okay.
That's why I think
they need the face shields, I guess.
I get that's why they need those giant hockey style face shields. Yes, that's why when I've heard a number of people, I heard Dickerson filling in with Keefe, and I thought Dickerson did a great job this morning jumping in with Andy. It's nice to hear his voice back on the station.
Totally.
He's got my kind of energy. I love it. I heard them talking this week about what sport do you think has the best chance of making it through the season, and which one is going to pull up stakes first. And to me, the one that's going to pull up stakes first is going to be basketball or the NFL, and the one that has the best chance is baseball.
More than hockey, who's got a bubble? I mean, I disagree. NHL and the NBA are going to happen because they've got a bubble. They'll make it work.
There's too much contact. There's unprotected contact in basketball.
There'll be no cases. As long as they shelter themselves properly.
All it takes is one tainted muffin tray one housekeeper by accident. You never know. That's the thing. Whereas baseball, I feel like baseball has the best chance. It's not a contact sport. You're not near each other.
You're traveling, and your players are going out into the public.
It's regional travel, and these players, they want to get paid. Ken, the ones who have decided to take the risk, they want to get paid. They want to see the season come to fruition and fulfillment. I think they're going to be extra cautious. I totally 100% believe, in my sports heart of Andy Hearts, that baseball has the best chance to fulfill the season.
Well, you're wrong. But let's go to Adam in New Hampshire next here on Ken and Fitzy. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, buddy?
So I'm on board with the fact that there's going to be some people that don't go back to professional sports live again. I don't know that it's going to be enough to really affect things, but I'm already on that train. I moved into a neighborhood last year that does a lot of quote-unquote home gating, and I had a chance to buy tickets from somebody to a Patriots game and turned them down because I was having so much fun doing the home gating at home. We were providing our own food, our own beer. We're not paying $10 a beer. We're not waiting in the traffic to leave the game. You got the yellow line on the field. You get the instant replay, the commentating. I personally won't be going back to a Patriots game again.
And you get great Wi-Fi, and you don't have to borrow like good husband or good wife points depending on which one of you is going to the game with their friends. And you also you don't have not waiting 20 minutes in line for the bathroom, no traffic. You can throw on Red Zone on commercials, right?
Absolutely.
And yeah, you would admit this is not a new thing. Like, people, Red Zone's been around for a long time. People not now are just going to discover, Red Zone's on. I'm not going to go back. You are a minority.
Not that it's a new thing. It's not that it's, I might be the minority. I don't think it's going to be something that, puts the NFL out of business or anything. But, I just fell into a community that does home gating. And, we all pick a week in our neighborhood and we host and everybody brings food and we get a projector and another TV underneath it for Red Zone. And, if I hadn't had that experience, I would have it this year because no one can go to the games. Right. So I think there's going to be a lot of people this year that are exposed to having to make tailgating happen at home that wouldn't be originally and realize that, it's a much better experience. Now, if you've never been to a game before, maybe you'll go for that. But I've been to a couple, and now I know I don't want to go back.
Thanks for the call, Adam. That's first plant call of the day from Fitzy. You got a buddy in New Hampshire.
Adam.
That's fun.
I just Venmo'd at NH underscore Adam. That's actually probably someone's handle. Who knows?
No, I'm sure there are people like that. Look,
there are.
Myself, I would rather stay home and watch the game. But I just think it's amazing to think that because of the pandemic, all of these seasons.
Does your panic room get Red Zone, Ken?
Of course it does. It's been had it for years.
No, but I'll give you for example. I have one of my best friends lives in Medfield. He in like a neighborhood, like a development sort of. And there's like 7-8 houses that. This is where I had my first experience with a food truck getting rented, which, of course, Greg and you scoffed at earlier this week.
Well, it's so laughable. Like, trucks are coming out of...
Ken, he had a Kentucky Derby party last year. Everyone got dressed up. There were like 100-something people that watched the Derby. Someone made like the Kentucky butter cake. Somebody made mint julep. Someone brought the beer. I went there with the wife and kids. We all got dressed up, and they had the sausage guy, and his mobile truck pulled into a driveway. And
how many of these do you think are
a lot
on a given Sunday or across New England? How many food trucks have been purchased to come to home games?
Rented? As yes. long as you, there's so what most of these food trucks, there's a minimum, and if you can meet the minimum, or if you like do like a $500 guarantee, then they reach that point, and then if you
probably
go
like
past
20 in six states,
no dozens, okay, all right, Ken. Hey, or maybe they know a chef or a friend who decides to cook. It may not always be a food truck, but you can simulate this sort of you can congregate and simulate the experience without going to the stadium. I love nothing more than intruding on someone else's tailgate, getting some free tips and beers, all for the sake of content that I can share on my channels and, of course, WEEI. And if I can't do that this fall, it's going to suck because I live for that. But I do believe that people are going to start trending in that home gating direction. And you heard King Baker. It's a new normal, man.
Well, we've got full board of callers who agree with me. We'll get to those coming up at 617-779-7927. And NFL's return, what should they do? I want to play this Patrick Mahomes audio for you coming up next, Fitz. He talked from a golf tournament in Tahoe. And to me, he basically took shots at two quarterbacks, with what he said. And there's another takeaway as well from the whole thing. So big week for Mahomes, right? You would agree? A lot of Mahomes talk on all the stations
big,
and channels.
Huge week for Mahomes.
We finally heard a little bit from Mahomes. We'll get into that as well coming up. And Ross Tucker at 2. But here's what's trending on WEEI.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
As mentioned by the Fitzman, the NFLPA has sent a counterproposal to the owners. 35% escrow of salaries was proposed by the league. They are saying no escrow. And fully guaranteed money, even if games are canceled, and a COVID-19 risk stipend of up to $500K if games are canceled, per sources.
I couldn't agree. I could not agree with that counter proposal more. Drew Rosenhaus is not someone that I think a lot of diehard football fans can relate to or want to hear much from. Next question. But I think he's right. These players deserve hazard pay for coming out and engaging in the gridiron combat in the age of COVID-19. Couldn't agree more.
For Mike Reese and Field Yates, the Patriots have settled their grievance with Antonio Brown and Aaron Hernandez's estate, by the way, too. The deal freeing up cap space for the Pats, with Antonio Brown getting $5 million of the $9 million he owes, and the Patriots get $7 million in free cap space now, Fitzy. So they can do stuff. Pretty big news.
You know what they should do with that? They should talk to Cleveland about someone whose last name rhymes with doo-doo-hoo.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that later. Meanwhile, the NHL and the league agreed on their new CBA. By the way, it's 4 years extended on the two they've got. So labor peace in the NHL is huge, and the protocols for their bubbles in Edmonton and Toronto. So big news for the Bruins. Camp opens on Monday. They will travel to the Hotel X, the Toronto campus bubble, around Exhibition Place, and that will be, they leave in a week and a half, basically. Ooh. 2 weeks. They depart on July 26th. 13 days later.
Can you tell me straight up, because I'm now officially, I can't believe this, I'm the most excited for the return of baseball between all three sports. Maybe it was just getting a chance to talk to a couple Sox players this week, but I really am. Are you more excited about baseball or hockey's return?
Hockey. Because in a month's time, a month from today, we get a best of seven series with the Bruins and somebody in a Stanley Cup playoff series. I think it's really going to be great. I mean, it's going to be bizarre for sure, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a great tournament. Celtics had their opening practice in the bubble at Disney World. They held out Kemba Walker because of his knee, and they're also going to lose their assistant coach, Carol Lawson. Looks like she'll be the next head coach of Duke University women's basketball. Pac-12, by the way, also joining the Big Ten in making fall sports conference only. Mm-hmm. That's what's trending. More of Laird and Fitzy coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
I know you think you're the queen of the underground. And you can send me dead flowers every morning.
That's better, Richard. Good job. A little off the beaten path. It is Laird and Fitzy, as we are. Ross Tucker coming up at 2 o'clock.
Oh, Bridget, that is one of my favorite songs ever. Thank you. Great rejoin.
See, that would have been a better open.
What, to open with dead? Well, you're made from dead flowers.
We're talking about the return of the NFL, which I don't think it's dead. I just think they've got some issues to deal with here. It's amazing they haven't gotten it together, and we're asking you what they should do. Tommy Curran, they should push it back a month. I think they should space it out and play all the way through March and April. I think college football should just punt all the way to the spring. But we'll see what happens here. The report date is coming, and coming sooner than you think for the NFL. I mean, you know, really, 30 days moving it back, it makes sense because rookies are supposed to come July 21st, 10 days away, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Mahomes. Now, Mahomes had the big contract this week. There were a lot of debate about his greatness and the dynasty and how much money he's actually making. So he finally spoke at a golf tournament in Tahoe. I guess he was going out with to play with Kelsey and Charles Barkley. And he was asked by ESPN a couple of the standard questions. But I want your reaction to a few of these clips, Fitzman. First one mentions Brady. Bridget, go ahead and play the this is the question about his goals, basically, in his career.
Do you have a number in your head how many rings you want to win before you will feel like you've accomplished enough?
I don't know if there's a number. I mean, obviously, you try to chase greatness, and Tom's got six, so I'm going to try to do whatever I can to at least get to that number. I understand how hard that is, how how really, I mean, it was a one-of-a-kind thing for Tom to be able to get to 9 Super Bowls and win 6 of them. And so I'm just going to go about the process every single day of trying to make myself better and do whatever I can to make the Kansas City Chiefs better.
Now, that's a fine answer. It gives Brady a little respect. The big takeaway I have from that, Fitzy, is Montana is buried. Among this generation of athletes, nobody is ever going to mention the guy who won 4, lost 0, and was the previous standard bearer of individual success at the quarterback position in terms of championships.
That's right.
Brady has totally buried Joe Montana.
Honestly, he has. And at this point now, Joe Montana's greatness, like Roger Staubach used to be the comp, Terry Bradshaw, an afterthought. You're only going to be able to hear about the Unitases and the Otto Grahams from guys that are true football historians. And then when we lose the Gil Brandts of the world, they're going to be gone. Only like the football maesters down there at NFL Films will remember them.
Yep.
To think that Joe Montana now lives in the minds of guys like Tom Brady or people like you and me who have been watching football our whole lives and isn't even in the conversation, that these young kids now only remember all the way back to far. I think all these kids really, and that's the closest thing I guess you can compare Mahomes to, is like a slightly more nimble and agile Brett Favre. To think that these kids basically only start with Favre up is insane. That I'm sure they know the game, but their reference points are now Manning, Brady, Favre, Rodgers, Wilson.
Which brings to
maybe Romo too. Excuse me,
Romo. No,
meaning like because Romo's
what did he ever do?
Well, I mean he was
he's on TV.
No, because yes, because he's on TV, so he's always in your mind. And B, Ken, he was actually a prominent starter for 11 years. That's a long time.
Well, here's the second part of the Q&A from ESPN, and here's where I believe he takes a shot at Brady by not even mentioning him. Here's the second question.
So when you hear people compare you to certain other quarterbacks, certain other greats who've played this game, which comparison do you find yourself most flattered by?
I mean, the guy I watched growing up was Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers. So whenever I get compared to some of guys like that, and I've got to meet those guys and see what type of guys they are and how they handle their business and how good of guys they are, I mean, it's cool to be any comparison to them. But like I said, it's still very early. I still got a long ways to go, and I'm going to try to do my best to get to their level.
So it's not like he grew up in Wisconsin, okay? He's from Texas, so he mentions the guys that he's flattered to be compared to is not Brady, it's Rodgers and Favre. Like, I could understand if it was just Rodgers. Here's a guy who was born in 1995, so right. He was 5 years old when Brady came into the league, and he probably missed the first three, definitely missed watching live the first three Brady titles. But the second ones, I guess he's closer to being a player. Fine, but Favre, you remember, you're flattered by the Favre comparison and the Rodgers comparison, and no mention of Tom Brady.
That's very interesting that you say that, Ken, but I understand why Mahomes would say that, because it's the physical comp. It's the style of play comp.
Well, that's there an insult nothing, to Brady.
No, it's not. I strongly disagree.
Like if and you're not a great quarterback and somebody compares you to Brady, it's an insult, is what he's saying.
No, it's not. No, that's not what he's saying at all. It's because people say that his style of play reminds them of Favre and Rodgers, and it makes a lot of sense because he has the mentality of Favre, always running around, trying to make a play, extending a play with his legs. He's a little more studied and takes a few. It's a risky style of play, but he's a little more risk averse than Favre, who would just chuck and duck at any given time. Literally, that's the old Sandlot gunslinger right there. And then he's got the arm talent. You haven't heard that phrase in a while, not since we started talking about Stidham with Jordan Palmer. He's got the arm talent of an Aaron Rodgers, who could just be going against his body and somehow throw a 45-yard frickin' laser down the field to a wide-open receiver.
So Brady couldn't throw lasers?
No, Brady didn't. Aaron Rodgers should only be compared to Tom Brady in conversations of who won more head-to-heads and do they both play quarterbacks and have hair on their head and put their shoes on, you know, one at a time. Aside from that, comparing Rodgers to Brady is like a McDonald's burger to an Abe and Louis steak.
But that's my point. From this moment forward, all young quarterbacks, when they come in the league, don't want to be compared stylistically to Brady because it's basically an insult. You're boring. They don't even know who Joe Montana is because Brady buried all the records. They know about Brady is he was a part of an unbelievable system between he and Belichick, and they went to 9 and won 6.
What about, you know, like maybe we could compare, you know, we could compare Mahomes a little bit to Marino because he's got that arm strength. Maybe we could compare him to a smaller version of John Elway, who found a way to extend. Like, John Elway wasn't a running quarterback. See, I don't see Mahomes as a running quarterback either. Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick, those were running quarterbacks. Mm. But Patrick Mahomes can move and get you, get receivers open and get you first downs when you need it with his legs.
How many yards did Mahomes run for? He's not over like a couple hundred, right, per year?
But who made bigger runs in the playoffs last year? Yeah. The biggest runs were by Mahomes. How about that 30-yard scamper that turned the tides against the Texans? A couple big runs. There was that 20-yard run, I think, for a touchdown at the end of the half that totally just broke the Titans back in the AFC Championship. Remember those?
Yes. He ran for...
240?
Not even 200.
Really? Yeah, so he's not even really a running quarterback. He's a mobile
quarterback. Yes, he did 200. 272 okay. And 218.
Okay, so, which averages out to 245.
But
so
you would expect Newton to run for 400 this year, right?
Yes. I think that's, you know what? That's a great over-under.
Lamar was 1,200 yards rushing or something.
Well, that's
ridiculous.
Absurd.
Totally
and if
absurd.
He does, if he tries to do that three more times, he won't even play 8 years in the league.
And by the way, before we get back to the phones, the even bigger takeaway from the Mahomes sound, Mr. Electricity. I mean, I know that's ironic coming from me, but to point out, you ripped Mike Trout, who I think is the best active professional athlete currently playing in terms of talent on the field. You just want to rip Trout because he's a snooze. Mm-hmm. Well, look at Mahomes. Is that exciting to you? I mean, look,
Bridget,
I dare you to watch that 6-minute interview and not fall asleep.
Bridget, give me like 5 or 6 more seconds of Mahomes.
I don't know if there's a number. I mean, obviously you try to chase greatness and Tom's got 6, so I'm going to try to do whatever.
I mean,
it's fine.
It's fine.
I've always thought he sounds like a slightly husky Kermit the Frog, but and that's all right. You know, he's a handsome dude. He's you know, got a different look. He's also not a giant, which is what makes it interesting, Ken, because Cam Newton literally looks like a warrior. Like, you would expect Cam Newton to step into the octagon at Fight Island tonight, you know. But Patrick Mahomes is like a smaller dude. He's like Russell Wilson sized. And can do, and he's not even like shredded either. This is the scary part about Mahomes. Let me say this. The scary part about Mahomes is, what if he decides to even bulk up a little bit more so he can take some hits? What if he decides to reinvest himself in studying the playbook? Because there's that quote where he's like, yeah, first year and a half in the league, I didn't even really read defenses. I only figured out how to read defenses halfway through the 2019 season. When we talk about the 76 touchdowns through the first 2 years of starting and he's missed 2.5 games, That should be terrifying to the rest of the league. What can't this kid do?
Let's go back to the NFL. What should they do? The phone lines and Lloyd and Worcester hanging on. Hi, Lloyd.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hi, Ken. Hi, Fitzy.
What's up, Lloyd?
I just want to get right to it. I don't believe there's any new normal. And I couldn't disagree more with the previous caller, Adam, or your previous caller, Travis, about canceling sports. I truly believe that despite the coronavirus, people will turn out for sports if there's an opportunity for that to happen. I also wanted to mention, I got a couple things, guys. You mentioned Otto Graham and another classic quarterback from the past. I also wanted to throw in the hat there Johnny Unitas.
Yep.
And even Norm Van Brocklin, who are amazing quarterbacks. And while you were bringing up this discussion on Tom Brady, I was doing a little research. And this is just things that Tom Brady has. Regular season wins by a starting quarterback, 219. Playoff yards, I mean, passing yards, 85,000. I remember when the record used to be, 59,000 by Dan Marino, and that was far ahead of anybody else. Most touchdowns thrown to different receivers, game-winning drives, 58, division title, 17, playoff games started, 41, playoff games started, playoff wins, 30. This whole thing with Tom Brady is absurd.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Lastly, gentlemen, are you still there?
Still here.
We certainly are.
Strong, Lloyd.
And I agree to your point, Lloyd.
I wanted to say about Jason, about Jared Stidham and Cam Newton.
Okay. Please.
You know, Cam, I saw a picture of him on television the other day. He looks fantastic. He's amazing. But, you know, we're not that far removed from the day when we're like 3 years removed from winning our last Super Bowl as a Patriots fan. I say we. It wasn't that long ago that people were saying that Belichick was a genius and he could always game plan, always out game plan his opponents. He could always take away their best weapon. I think he sees something in Stidham that's probably pretty good. And even though he's bringing Cam in, I wouldn't be surprised if Stidham doesn't beat him out. The kid's got to have something. He played for the University of Auburn. Let's not forget that. The SEC is no joke.
Well, stick around, so, Lloyd, for the interview with Ross Tucker. He agrees with you coming up at 2 o'clock. He's of the mindset that Cam is far from a lock to win this roster. Let's get one more in before we bring Ross on. Jay in Myrtle Beach. Hi, Jay.
Oh.
Hello, Jay.
Hello. Hey. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, man. How's Myrtle Beach, Jay?
Good. It's hot and sticky.
I bet. It's a great place.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say I don't agree with the fear-mongering with what's going on with the COVID and why athletes can't play. I mean, if frontline workers, the true frontline workers, such as nurses, people who deliver mail, deliver Amazon packages, they are the ones that are truly there throughout the whole thing. So, like all these people, they're like, oh God, I have to get tested every day. Oh no, I have to wait 5 minutes in line longer at Starbucks because I can't get my coffee the right way. It's a headache, man.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, Jay. The only thing I would say to that of the frontline workers, like, if you're talking about college football, I think we can agree that's a little bit of a different scenario. And sure, they have the option to push it back.
Mm-hmm.
Pro football, I believe, should play, but they have to have a plan for it too. Right now, they just don't have it together.
No, you're 1,000% right. I also appreciate the fact that I think Jay actually called us from like a cantina, or
I think
might have been
dishes
at a beach bar.
Yeah,
but. And Myrtle Beach, as we know, has been wide open for a while. So hearing that POV from down there makes complete sense. Ken, we're not advocating for football shutting down.
They're
neither of us wants
down
to
they
see a stoppage in NFL
right
action.
Right.
We just want to plan, and we want them to kind of draw it out to give them the best chance possible to complete the season. And by the way, if someone tells me, hey, Fitz, Ken, the football season, it's going to get played, and guess what? There's going to be relevant football from a week after Labor Day all the way to St. Patrick's Day. Are you kidding? I'm going to start buying all the cold weather gear and heat lamps I need for my outdoor mid-February home gate, baby.
But look at the Astros. They had one positive test. They canceled a practice. Like, this is showing you what the NFL is going to deal with, and they have to be ready for it. One positive test. You can say, yeah, play, you know, man up. It's fear-mongering. Okay, here's the reality. You get one guy test positive, you got to be able to react to it.
Couldn't agree more.
Former Patriot Ross Tucker will join us coming up at the top of the hour. His recent column, Cam Newton, not a lock to start in New England. The Radio.com Insider on the way on Laird and Fitzy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.